This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, everyone. So, my name is JP, and I'm from Shofar Windhoek. And it's an absolute privilege for me to bring the word this morning. And I really trust that God will, the Holy Spirit has already emptied your hearts with the things that you, it's not supposed to be here, so that you are in a place of being expectant to receive just His almightiness and His wowness. And what a privilege it is for me to bring the word this morning. As I said to the Afrikaans people, I started off in the beginning to speak Afrikaans, and English was the defense language for me. And as I moved to Windhoek, it's 11 months now, I seem to struggle to preach in Afrikaans now. So thank goodness for the grace of God, and that He allowed me to get over that boundary and allow me to bring the word this morning in Afrikaans as well, just so that we are so dependent on Him. We are so dependent on Him. And just a quick introduction for those of you that don't know me. So, Jaco asked me this morning to quickly speak, or not quickly, we're going to be here for a while, so get comfortable. 6 pages, and that's just the half of it. So, he asked me this morning to bring a word on what type of prayer is more effective, and I thought, you know, sure. That's a difficult one, because that's a way sort of Jaco reasons and wrestles with the Lord, and then he gets this big epiphany, and it's like, whew, right there. And he's like, okay, so we can't make things really easy for you, so because you are who you are, we'll just give you a topic and we'll ask you to pray, to preach on it. And I'm like, whoa. So a couple of weeks back, we sat and he gave me this topic. And I'm like, whoa, Jaco, curveball galore, you got me. I normally just, the last couple of months, I prefer the straight balls, the one that with the cricket, you just play it back to the bowler, or just play it past him and you hear the four. And then all of a sudden, you've got to really dig deep into the word. And because all of us are so comfortable sometimes with the word, we see that the word says do this and we go do it. And then somebody challenges and gives us a different perspective and objective, and all of a sudden, you need to reshuffle everything that you thought about. And you need to rethink and get back to that place of, Lord, how do I apply this? And those of you that know me, I'm a practical guy. I do not I'm not the teacher type of person. I am way out. And when for instance, last year, I wanted to do the presentation of the men's camp. I wanted to set up camp here in the front. And I wanted to put a porta potty here. And I wanted to illustrate what men's camp is about. Just being men. And that's the type of person I am. So, When we came to Namibia a while in 2013, the end of 2013, we decided, my wife and I and the two kids, we decided to pack up everything in South Africa and we came to Swakopmund. And we started work and things went well, and we lived on the plots just outside Swakop for the first 9 months, and we got a nice little place there by the beach, and you know what? Life was just a heaven. Huh? Life is just heaven here in Swakopmund. I come back, I sometimes have to, amen. So I have to go in Windhoek, I've got to put my diving suit on and just dive in the swimming pool from time to time, just to get the feeling of crayfish diving, you know. And so I put some of the kids' toys on the bottom, and it's like, yes, got you. But any case, so that's what Swakop was about for me. You know, it was heaven on earth. I loved every single moment of it. You're on holiday, but you've got to work, and it's like, ah, don't worry, we'll do it tomorrow. And then And then I started kickboxing in 2015 in the beginning of March. I met this bald guy. And he's like, you know what, I don't do kickboxing on a Wednesday because that's my small group day. I was like, you need to get yourself sorted. There's much more important things than church in life. And that was me. I said it to him. And in about May or June that year, and I remember it was still a bit of winter because I had to put on a jacket. It was my first, no, I believe my fourth visit in that year to church. And as my wife got invited to Awaken, and we were drawn in, and she got home with red eyes, and then I wanted to cry, and then we were both crying together, and then we came here this morning, and all I see is this smiling, bald face, Yuri, and he's watching me. And he's like, hey, men's camp. Okay, so I did the men's camp thing. I wanted to do the men's camp thing, but that morning my life changed. So I check everybody out. There's nice coffee. I heard about the coffee. It's good. So those of you that only come in at 10:30, please come in at 10 o'clock. You need to have a coffee. Swakop's coffee is not good. And it's not the coffee. It's actually a conversation. So what is so nice is that as I started seeing what's happening here, I remember that year I had a massive dream. That dreams that wake you up and you just start writing. You don't even have a pen in your hand, but you start writing because you want to get it down. So I dreamed that I was back here on the plots, and I remember Fred and Marius from Nazalowski, they were there, and Carl was there, and I didn't even know these people, but they just said to me, listen, do you want to do internship in this church? I was like, whoa. So that was a dream. So I wrote it down, and in that time, I decided, listen, I'm going to check out this intercession thing we have on a Tuesday morning. Everybody speaks about it. Yuri says that's non-negotiable for him. I said, well, I'll make it a non-negotiable as well. If you can do it, I can do it. So I get in there 5:30 in the morning, and amazingly, everybody's already seated. It's not Vintuk. We get there 6:05, and then we start praying. Talk for 30 minutes, and then we pray. But over here, 5:30, they sit. And I'm like, ooh, okay, what did I miss? I missed the invitation. So I look for a seat, and the only available seat, Yaku, open seat, Ottoman, my seat. Because I know Yaku's a pastor. I don't want to sit next to him because my prayer back then was only Afrikaans, and it was very shallow. It was absolutely meaningless. And I said, I'm not going to sit next to Yaku this time. So we started praying, and all of a sudden, there's a light that goes up in this room. I open my eyes and I see, well, the headlights are still on, but if you know Mark and Christine's house, there's just a bit of downlighters, but I'm like, whoa, no. This light's not shining down, it's shining up. So as people were praying, I think we were about 15 or something in the room, and they were all scattered out. This light just lights up from the bottom, and it lights up everything, and I'm like, wow, what is happening? And I realized, but wait. The way these people pray, things happen. Yaku, he's an anointed man of God. Eh? Who of you know when people speak like that? He's an anointed man of God. Okay, so I just said, okay, but listen, let me just get this right. So if they pray and this happens, what do you think will happen if I sit next to him? And obviously the next week, I'm 5:25 there because we don't pray. We start praying 5:30. And then I get in and I sit right next to him. I thought, okay, so when he raises his hands and he starts praying and he starts using all these words, I will get an overflow of that. The anointing will just flow and I'll get the overflow. All right, so that was my introduction to intercession. And I remember the second time that we started praying, he goes and he says, who can pray in tongues? I'm like, mine's the only hand that, who can't pray in tongues? Mine's the only hand that goes up. I'm like, oh. I said to him, well, I can pray in English. Does that count? And he says to me, don't worry. You just follow us. Let's just get this thing going. I went home and I said, Lord, I experienced something totally different here today. And I want that. I remember it was a Tuesday morning at 6:22 in the morning in 2016. I said, Lord, it's my desire to speak in a tongue. I haven't had the anointing of the Holy Spirit back then. Every time that people stood up, I was already back there doing overheads or sound or something. If you want to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, please come to the front. I was like, I'm clicking the buttons. I can't go anywhere. But I asked the Lord that morning, I said, Lord, give me the words of your heart, because the ones that I use, I do not know. And they are worthless. They don't mean anything. And all of a sudden, this one word came to life. And I started saying it, and it meant nothing to me. But you know what? I went in with boldness into that intercession the next time. And I said my two words. My one word, my one became two, my two became four. And eventually in 2017, I had a whole sentence that I could pray. And then we went to Cape Town, got there, and it's convergence. And I want to pray in tongues while we worship, and nothing's happening. There's no words. I've lost it all. I'm like, Lord, what did I do wrong? Is it me? Is it you? Where are we pulling the ropes now? What happened? And I've been in an accident long before in my life, and I know there's some parts missing up here. So that's a story for another day. So I thought, maybe I just forgot it, you know. And then all of a sudden, as we go into worship, the next moment, I receive a whole new language. I'm like, Lord, whoa, you've upgraded me from 1.0 to 2.0. And what I want to say to you is that when God called me into full-time ministry, He laid a desire on my heart to communicate with Him. Because it wasn't about what I wanted and how I wanted to move forward. It was about Him. I'm an ordinary guy. And my wife will tell you I'm an ordinary guy. I make daily mistakes. And I make her cross as well. We are ordinary people. But God can't use the extraordinary of our own personal lives to glorify Him. He is the radiant light. He is the glory. And in my life, I had to be obedient in saying, Lord, I'm willing and I want to go that way. And calling me into intercession in that time, I learned something that this, as Rick last week said, it's not a specialized thing. Each one of us are called to pray. Each one of us are drawn into the fullness of Christ, the richness of Christ. So I want to start this morning with a lie that was identified with so many of us. And that lie says that God uses only certain, you can only pray certain type of prayers if you're a certain personality. Wrong. Absolute lie. But let me illustrate it and demonstrate it to you. So we're going to read from James 5, verse 13 to 15. And you're not going to find this in your Bible, because this is the new way of living in the church translation that I have here. So I'm going to read it for you, and then we'll discuss it. We'll lay it out and see how it pans out. So Are any of you suffering hardships, going through bad days, feeling life is just too much, your finances aren't working out, and my life is just a mess? You should call the pastor, call the small group leader, call the anointed people of God to pray for you. Are any of you happy, abundantly blessed, life is a dream? In spite of all the wrongs and challenges, you rejoice. You should wait till Sunday before you worship and bring honor to God. Are any of you sick? You should call the elders, for only they are the anointed ones in the church and the ones with the gift of healing, because their faith is much more than yours. And let them anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, because the anointed man of God prayed for you, and he prayed for healing, and you were healed. And the Lord will make you well, and if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Who believes just what I read? Come on, stick up your hands. Come on. Okay, so here's the thing. That's utter nonsense. But how far is it from reality? How far is it for me, the way you and me think of prayer, of God, of seeing other people in church? And in some way, there is a bit of truth in what I just said. Because here's the key. Because we doubt and we pray what we don't believe, and then we are disappointed when it doesn't happen. We pray it because somebody else said I must. And we think that if that person is much more anointed, he's been longer in the faith than I am, and that's why he can pray that prayer. When I saw the light in that intercession rising up from below me like a spotlight, and those of you that watched the Batman movies, see the Batman sign there? I saw the light. Mind you, but it wasn't Batman. It was God's anointing on that place. Because there was corporate prayer, there was prayer for specific people, there was prayer for specific reason. But it was all ordinary people. And you shall go on now. You see, the thing is, prayer starts in the heart. Prayer is a heart thing. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see that there's no excuse and no loophole for you not to pray. Because God gives to each the gifts he desires. So if you do not have a desire in your heart, you're going to struggle to define and identify your gift. Each one of us has the ability and has a gift in our lives. The Holy Spirit says that there's no distinction. God says there's no distinction. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, God says, Paul writes, he says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And I know we're talking about prayer this morning, but I just needed to illustrate and make sure that you completely understand that he did not say that only a specific group of selected people will be the ones that pray daily for me or pray for me. He selected each one of us because He chose you and me. And here's the thing, if you read Romans 3, verse 22 and 23, it says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Okay? He did not say for some who believe, but for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Let me just repeat that again. There is no distinction. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's hard words. So the thing is, none of us are excluded in prayer. It starts with the heart. That was the intro. But how do we pray effectively then? How do we communicate with God and see results in our lives? It starts with communication or communion with Christ. Communion, that intimate, deep place of seeking the presence of God in our lives. That's the first one. David writes in Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And listen to this, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. To gaze upon His beauty and to inquire in His temple. Effective prayer is birthed from a place of knowing who God is. Communion with God draws us to the place of finding out who God is in our life. The presence of God, here in your presence, all is undone. Because when we step into the presence of God, the veils of our eyes are removed because we see God for who He is. And as Rick rightly said last week, that this morning you will feel the presence of God. You will be inspired to walk out and go and preach the gospel. You will be bold. It will be just that amazing feeling. And Monday morning we wake up and like, oh, whoa, that was a day yesterday. But seek the presence of God and the boldness will continue. The excitement, the joy, the life will continue. The more we seek the presence of God. Timothy Keller writes in his book called Prayer. He says, is it possible that a man or woman can come to love God for himself alone, so that there is a fundamental contentment in life regardless of circumstances? Wow. In Job 1 verse 9 and 10, he says, then Satan answers the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. I believe the devil is standing and running around daily saying to God, hey, touch his things, and you will see he will curse you. And unfortunately, he's right. But Job had a contentment in his life, no matter the circumstances. He was solid in Christ. He was solid in God. He knew that what God had given him, God can also take away. But what God cannot take away is a relationship. Because Job was seeking after that. And Timothy Keller sums it up in the following way. So, the more clearly Job saw God, who God was, the fuller his prayers became. Moving from mere complaint to confession, appeal, and praise, in the end he broke through and was able to face anything in life. This new refinement and level of character came through the interaction of listening to God's revealed word and answering in prayer. The more true his knowledge of God, the more fruitful his prayers became, and the more sweeping the change in his life. If you want to effect change in your life, seek the face of God. Seek the presence of God. For there will be not one person that will still stand the same after encountering the living God. You see, the thing is, there must be a longing in our hearts for God, for the communion, for the presence that He has in our lives. And that longing which you feel here this morning, that presence that you felt here this morning, and we still feel because Jesus is in the room, mustn't stop tonight when you go to bed, you close your eyes, and tomorrow morning you wake up like, oh, okay, good, it's a nice day, we're going to go on again. It's something that needs to continue because it's a heart thing. When I sat this morning and God sort of brought me into this picture of this loving Father just embracing me, I started crying the moment that I walked in here. Because dwelling in the house of the Lord is just one of those, the most amazing thing in the world. Prayer is continuing a conversation that God has started through His Word and His grace, which eventually becomes a full encounter with Him. Prayer is a continuing conversation which God has started. And here's the thing. God has already started a long time ago with each one of us. And that's why we are where we are today. Because He's drawn us into that conversation. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purifications for sin, Jesus Christ, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than these. That is the God that we want to get to know, that we need to get to know, to have effective prayers. Let me tell you a quick story. So let's say Lionel is having Sunday lunch. And he had a good scarp ribbiki or a nice bit of braai, flaky meat. And just as about as he was going to take his afternoon duvet session, he gets woken up by the knock on the door. So immediately he's in that place of Sunday afternoon, dude, bad timing. You don't do this. But he felt compelled to go out. And here's a guy at his front door opening up his hands and saying, "Sir, have you got something to eat?" And immediately Lionel goes back to the word and saying, now the word of God says, "You will not live by bread and alone, but you will live by every word of God." Okay, so here's an opportunity. Wow. So he says, okay, the immediate need for this guy is he's hungry. So let's give him a piece of bread and maybe a scarp choppy, a lamb chop, because that's what we've got. We've got abundance, so we'll give it to him. And he wants to have a conversation with him. So the first day, we don't want to make it too uncomfortable and dig right into the word and get down deep to bone and marrow. So we just sort of keep it short, say, "Hey, listen, come back tomorrow, we'll have a conversation, we'll chat." You see, he initiated the conversation. So the next day, this guy comes back, he gets to know his name, and it's Pity. Okay, so Pity comes back, and Pity again, "Sure, Uncle Lionel, have you got something to drink for me? You know, it's nice and hot." And Vinduke says, "Bai varam." You know, we do it very, very warm. And so he gives him a glass of water. And again, there's some leftovers. So he gives him something to eat. Now, Lionel wants to continue the conversation. But this guy's like, "Okay, no, I'm sorted. Tummy is full. Thirst is clenched. So I'm going to go. Thanks for the day." And he runs off. He goes. The next day he comes back. Pity is there again. He's like, "Yo, Uncle Lionel, that Tubroiki was so nice yesterday. Can I just maybe have a bit more?" And Uncle Lionel's he's got a long-term plan for this. So he says, "Yes, no worries." And again, he wants to engage in the conversation, and all of a sudden, oh, we have a problem. Because again, Pity needs to go. I was like, "Pity, where do you want to go?" No, very busy, very busy. Other lots of people to see and places to go to. And Lionel realizes, but the need that has been served, or the way that he serves here now, is basically just an immediate need. This guy gets what he wants, and then he's off. Pity's gone. So the next day, Pity comes back, and Lionel's like, "Okay, yes, Pity, how are you?" I'm good. "Yes, it is weer warm vandaag. So can I have a glass of water?" And Lionel says, "No." Whoa, okay. So what happened here? I thought we were on a good level. Young people will resonate with this. They will know. And he's like, "Okay, so maybe what about a piece of bread? Will that be all right? Since you don't want to give me water?" He says, "No." Ooh, now we're stirring up trouble. Because Pity is like, "Sure, what's the deal here?" And Lionel says, "But I want to have a conversation with you." "Sure, sorry, Pity. Lionel, I'm very busy. I need to go. Play people in place to see." So Pity runs off. So Pity doesn't come back the next day, but he comes back 2 days later. And he's at Lionel's door again. And again, Lionel wants to have a conversation with him, because you see what Lionel saw, that in Pity, there is something amazing. And he wants to help him explore that and give him purpose in life. But Pity is all about what I receive here right now. So the conversation never happened, because immediately the need was fed and Pity's gone because he's busy. So the moment Lionel stops and says, "But listen, before we do continue with this, we will have a conversation first, and we will continue in this conversation until I get your full attention, and then we can serve the need. Because at the moment, you're just using me." So Pity becomes offended, and he doesn't read Proverbs 19, verse 11, it says, "For your own glory to overlook an offense," because he doesn't know that. He didn't want to listen to Lionel. And he runs off. Pity's gone. He's offended with Lionel. He doesn't come back to him. But meanwhile, what he doesn't know is that right at the back here, Lionel has started with a foundation for a flat for Pity. Lionel prepared a house for him. but pity searched the immediate need. And pity was gone. In a sense, that such is a very fine line which we can draw, which is very much similar to our lives. The moment we start spending time in prayer, we do not seek the face of God. We pray from a place of response to the circumstances in our lives. I'm saying all of us because it happens. If our heart is not into seeking the presence of God, we will not pray effectively. Because it starts there. So now we go on, you say, okay, so what's next? Well, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14 is next. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of wealth for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart." He doesn't stop there. "You will seek me and you will find me." We love saying that. "With all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." We will not know what God has in store for us if we do not have a conversation with Him. And that's the first point in effective prayer, is to have a continuing conversation, communion, present-filled conversation with God. Not a one-way conversation. And it brings me to the second point. How do we know who God is? Because if we truly know God, we will be drawn into it and pray with Him. It says that the power of our prayers then lies not primarily in our efforts and striving or in any technique, but rather in our knowledge of God. In our knowledge. How do we gain knowledge of God? So let's say I have Windows 2007. No, let's go way back. Windows 98. Who can still relate to that? Okay, a couple. Do you think that will be an effective tool for me to continue with my business if I have a shipping company? No, absolutely not. So for me to get with a program, get in with life, I need to download the upgrade, which is now Windows XP. No, I'm joking. It's Windows 10. So I need to upgrade to Windows 10 to stay on par with the latest technology, the latest things that equips me to do my business well. If we don't read the Word of God, and this is the second part. So first, we have communion with Jesus Christ. We need to seek the presence. We need to seek His face. The second thing is, we need to pray the Word of God. We need to upgrade our vocabulary. Because if we continue to pray the mere empty words that we utter on a daily basis, we will not get the fullness of God. Do you agree with me? Okay, we're getting there. I know it's the afternoon session. You have to bear with me. We're gonna bring it alive just now. So, in order for us to pray effectively, we seek the communion, but we need to get to know God, and we need to download a brand new or an upgraded version of our vocabulary. Because ours are not sufficient. And what is that? It's not the iPad, it's not the media pad or iPad or whatever you call it. It's the Word of God. The Word of God gives us the necessary vocabulary to honor and glorify God for who He is and not who we create Him to be. Because if we pray wrong, we create a God that fits our needs. But if we pray the Word of God, we cannot go wrong. Because that exalts who He is. What does John 1 verse 4 says? In the New Living Translation, it says, "The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought light to everyone." If you pray the Word of God, you will bring life into situations. Isaiah 6 verse 4 and 5 says, "And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" No word we say in our own capacity will ever be sufficient enough. But the Word of God is solid. We know who we are praying to only if we first learn it in the Bible. And we know who we should be praying only by getting our vocabulary from the Bible. Timothy Keller, in his book called Prayer. The Word of God is life. If I speak the word and I say, "Andreas, switch off the lights." If Andreas doesn't action it, it's not going to happen. But when God says, "Let there be light," there was light. My word requires an action, but God's word is the action. So, why would we pray anything else? If we still have to go action our words, but God's word is action. We seek the presence of God by glorifying Him through His own word, because that's who He is. He is God. And when we have that in place, the third key point is kingdom-seeking prayer. So you know the word of, you know who God is, who you pray to. You understand that the Word of God is sufficient words for you to go to move from. And that knowledge of Christ excels you and starts a burning desire from within to continue with this word. Because God has changed my life, He can change the person next to me's life. And kingdom-mindedness is not where I sit and make excuses for not preaching the word out there. The gospel of Jesus Christ is sufficient enough. That must be our primary focus in life when we go out and speak the word. Salvation, salvation. Revival, revival, revival. But it starts in the heart. And if your heart is in Christ, you will be compelled, for the love of Christ compels me, you will be compelled to move out. And you don't even have to take the Bible with to preach to people. You preach from the Christ that is within you. You testify of things that are happening in your life. You testify of the joy and life being given to you. But an excuse, well, there will always be that. But God made provision for that. He said, "Okay, cool. I'll give you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So we do not have an excuse. We do not say, but oh, I don't know how to do it. The Holy Spirit will remind you what Christ has taught us. Seek the face of God. Pray His words. Be kingdom driven. That's 3 points for effective prayer. Purposefully praying for God to guide you and use you. I want you to put up a sticker in bold letters. Make it 150 font. I don't know how big is that. That's about this big. Place it on your ceiling with the following words. What does love require of me today? When you wake up in the morning, you've experienced the presence of God. You are filled with His Word. You know your purpose because God has called us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, Lord, what does love require of me today? Because my people at work are atheists, or they don't believe, or if we speak anything about Christians, we will be in trouble. Do they want to see the Christian in you, or do they want to see Christ in you? What does love require of me? We have no excuse. And here's the last key before we go on to this next session. Just try and see if you're still awake. James 5, verse 16, the original English Standard Version. As I see, Carol was almost very upset with me. She's like, young man, I will have a word with you afterwards. I said, don't worry, Carol. I will only preach the word. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So I want to ask you the next question. Who of you are righteous here? Hands up. Who's a righteous person? I have bad news for you. Carol, you added that little extension there. You crooked. You know, you're not supposed to say that yet. We are not righteous in our own capacity. But through Christ, we are sanctified. And in Christ, we are justified. And through Christ, to the Father, we are righteous. So why would we pray in any other name except the name of Jesus Christ? He is the one that makes us righteous before God. He says in His Word that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Doesn't that tie in with seeking God's presence in His face? The Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ, which is living, lights us up. Hebrews 1 verse 18, I'm going to start ending off with that. It says, and having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. The four keys to effective prayer starts with your heart being tuned to Christ, being drawn to Christ. Not coerced, not pushed into, but drawn into Christ alone. You seek His face. You seek His presence. You know His word. You have it engraved in your heart. You become kingdom-minded in your prayers, saying, Lord, where can I go? Start with something small. And then you say, Lord, but because I am not righteous, You are. And in Your name, empower me to go from here. In Your name, I claim the kingdom of God. It sounds like it's up there. It sounds like it's far-fetched. But start practicing small principles and changing the way that you speak, the way that you have conversation with Christ, and your prayer life will become effective. We are not just there to get from God, but we are there to give to God. Your life for Christ will not become work, but it will become a choice. Your prayer in conversation will not just be another normal day to day, but it will become a choice. We are drawn into it. Let us close our eyes. You might be here this morning and you think, sure, JP, you've spoken a lot of words. But I want to get back to the heart of it, and I want to get back to really seeking the face of God. Seek the face of Jesus Christ. And if you've sort of drawn away from that and you stepped away and said, Lord, my prayers were just so-and-so. Or you feel that there's a bit of a false root in your heart when it comes to prayer. I want to give you an opportunity to bring it before the Lord. Let us all stand up and not make it too uncomfortable. So I want you to all stand up and keep your eyes closed, because this is a significant moment that God has called us all to say, but look, if you've identified it, let's come back to us. Come back to me. Because it's not about what people think around you. It's not about what people see, but it's about who I am. If you are in His presence, you will say, woe is me. For I am lost, I have unclean lips. Yeah, and just if you are in that place this morning, you feel that there's a bad root in your heart that you want to get rid of. I want to invite you to the front that we can pray for you. I want to invite you to the front to say, Lord, that, you know, I want to get rid of this. Ek wil wegkom van hierdie onkruid. It's bad root in my life. That's causing problems and mere problems and issues in my life. That's hindering me from seeing you wholeheartedly. And if you are here for the first time, or the second, or the third, and you've not given your life to Christ, God wants to invite you into that place to experience His fullness and His richness to which He called you for, the hope that He called you for. Lord, we call upon Your name this morning, declaring that You are the God Almighty, the one that who is, who was, and who is to come. Lord, our words are mere insufficient words, Father, when it's not filled by Your Spirit, filled by Your lifestyle, Lord God. Lord, we confess that we use it sometimes from a place of circumstances. So, Father, this morning I want to bring firstly myself to You as an ordinary guy with so many faults and sins. Start with me first, Lord. Renew my heart to a new place of longing and seeking you wholeheartedly, digging, drawing me deeper into your river. So I want to call those that really want to, if you've not given your heart to the Lord, I want to call you to the front. This is a bold thing. I've done it in my life. I stepped up. You make your declaration to Christ, not in secret, but in public, because you serve Almighty God. If you are in that place where your prayers are ineffective and you've realized that there's a route that's not right, I want you to come to the front. Be bold. Let us pray for you. Let us not just leave this thing on the side and leave it till tomorrow. Wait 3 weeks till you're perfect. You're not going to be perfect. God is the one that brings sanctification into every moment. If you are in that place this morning, I invite you to the front.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.